I would like to invite each of you to listen carefully to God's voice in your heart. Listen to His voice. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid.
And we're back. Man, that was a long week.
Am I getting compared to Father Bernie Georges now?
This was different.
Yeah, this is more in the realm of Bishop Kemi. He usually does two episodes with us. So this is respectable.
Wow, what an honor.
Also, share a birthday with him, don't you?
Yeah,
that's right.
I share initials and a birthday, and we both went to Kenrick. I think my mom told Bishop that 2 hours into his stay in Wichita. So, C-A-K, he's Carl Allen Kemi. I'm Clay Alexander Kimbrough.
Even the middle initial's the same.
Yeah, he was born August 14th, 1960. I was born August 14th, 1990, 30 years apart to the day, and...
Bishop will appreciate you putting his age out there. Yeah.
Well, he's practically his twin, so why not?
Easy for me to remember how old he is, just at 30. But we've celebrated a few times our birthdays together with priests, which has been great.
That is
great
cool.
Gift, so.
That is cool. Well, last week we left people hanging of what your job actually is in the diocese. We kind of got sidetracked. So let's start with that. What do you do as a priest in the diocese, Clay?
Yeah, so I'm the pastor of Holy Name in Winfield and St. Mary's in Oxford, and just started there about a year ago. I was ordained 6 years ago this week, May 27, 2017, with Father Drew, 10 of us in our class. And my first assignment was to Pittsburgh, as I mentioned last week, to be the chaplain at St. Mary's Colgan High School. So that was quite a surprise at the time. I think I was in our two classes of 10, the 20 of us ordained in 2 years, I was the only one that started out in Pittsburgh. So it was challenging being 2.5 hours away, like more than I expected. I also learned how to teach on the fly in that first assignment, as you did. And so it was an interesting couple first years, but I love the people there. It's like a home when I go back there. And then I got a kind of surprise, like all of our assignments are, like we mentioned last week, but a surprise to go to Guatemala with the first group that went to Guatemala in the summer of 2019. Bishop asked me to go to Guatemala with a few of our seminarians.
The week this comes out, they'll be coming back from Guatemala.
Nice.
So we've got 8 guys with Father Sam Brand.
Can't wait
Father
to hear John how Stein. Round two goes. Father Sam Brand is my neighbor to the south in Ark City, and I gave him a care package the other day. I gave him a Guatemalan shirt and a Stanley Rother book and told him all about malaria and
these are important
not
Guatemalan
to drink
facts.
The water, all those things. But that was that ended up being a really great gift because I had 5 weeks in Guatemala to kind of transition between parishes, and to be with the seminarians was a great gift. Father Will Stever, Father Andrew Ming, a few of those guys, Father Chris Rumbach. Then I went to St. Anne on the south side of Wichita for 3 years. Again, Hispanic ministry, I thought was going to be really difficult, but just love the people of God down there and a great gift those 3 years. During that time, I got to help out with the young adults in Wichita a little bit more with Salt and Light, which was awesome. And then last summer, I got the call from Bishop to become a pastor in Winfield and Oxford. Winfield's about 300 families, smallest school in the diocese, small but mighty, I say. 46 kids, pre-K through 6. So it's a great little school. The parish, the church turns 100 years this November. It's a beautiful church, one of the hidden gems in the diocese. Oxford is one of the tiniest churches. It holds about 60 people packed.
One aisle, right?
12
There's no side aisles.
Yeah, one aisle, 12 pews of 6. We pack it with about 50 people. So it's a great little warm-up on Sunday morning at 8:30. No mic, no need to do anything like that. So
I don't know if we have the same amount or similarities as you and Bishop, but we both started in Pittsburgh at Colgan. Your next assignment was St. Anne's, which is where I went to grade school. And then both of our first pastorates were at Holy Names, just different Holy Names.
And I used to say that I took the Father Chad route to the seminary, as I'll mention in a bit, because I went to K-State for a year and then on to the seminary. So, yeah, for sure.
See, we got connections too. So
twinsies.
It's a beautiful place.
Twinsies. What's your work look like with young adults?
It has looked like spiritual direction. Like we put that out a lot and found there's a great desire for spiritual direction. That's something that also, you know, we're not specifically trained for, unless you take like the Mundelein, the IPF spiritual director training program. But I found either just taking on spiritual directees myself or facilitating those. But a lot of it's just been working with the directors we've had. So currently it's Heidi Urach, who works for the diocese, works for Father David Lease, just kind of about vision and mission and what we're what we really need to do to provide whole formation. So we've kind of revamped Theology on Tap. We used to have it once a month, every month of the year. Now we just do it four times a year and kind of are bringing in bigger speakers like Sister Jamie.
Had to listen to all of this.
Every single bit.
Sister Jamie has been very kind and just hanging out with us in the podcast room.
Yeah. Then just sacramental help. So we have Mass four times a year and then adoration. So we've been doing Ember Days, which is kind of an old tradition in the church. Just quarterly adoration throughout the seasons of the year. And that's been a great gift, you know, 70 to 100 people there. And we've got a lot of young adults with great gifts in music and talents and that kind of stuff. So it's been an incredible boost to my priesthood to just kind of receive life from them and to be able to help them in that age bracket that's often kind of forgotten and marginalized a little bit.
Now, all three of you have served in Hispanic ministry.
Si, senor.
I was going to say, do you guys ever just hang out and talk Spanish with one another?
No, senor.
We are on some group texts that are laughing about things that happen in Hispanic ministry. Yeah. Like things we see at quinceañeras and things like that. Hayden's on it. Father Hayden's on it too.
Which, minus Garrett, but you two, and you could throw Father Hayden in the mix, would be the least likely looking wise, the like guarita, appearance.
The guaritas.
Guaritos.
Do not look like you belong in Hispanic ministry.
It sometimes that helps. It's like, hey, we're just having, they let you off with knowing less Spanish sometimes because you look like you should know any Spanish at all.
Better than I thought. Yeah.
Blessing is, no matter how big and white you are, they still call you Padrecito.
Padrecito.
Oh, really?
Just so many good, I mean, I'm sure. And that has been cool to watch you get to enter into that world, which you didn't really experience seminary and early priesthood,
right?
And then watch into it and fall in love with that.
For sure,
has been really cool to watch.
Yeah, it's just a great, great blessing to see the simplicity and even like just learning a lot about how the people revealing to you what you are. It's what Garrett and I talk about sometimes. Like, I do not feel the same confidence I feel in Spanish as I do putting together homilies in English, but it doesn't matter because they're just so glad that you're there, that you're Christ to them, that you're bringing them the sacraments, that you can absolve them of their sins. It doesn't really matter. They're just happy that you're trying and showing up. That's still carried on. Like, there's a few Hispanic families down in Winfield, and there's certainly a lot in Ark City. And a few of those have come to talk to me about annulments and different things. And so just being able to use that and being able to answer when people say, ¿Hablas español, padre? In the confessional, and just being able to say, yeah, is just a great, simple gift of life. So...
Where did you study Spanish? I mean, you did time in Guatemala after you were ordained.
Yeah.
Prior to that,
I started with three years at Bishop Carroll in high school. And then we did our Spanish summer in Pittsburgh. Summer, I can't remember, 2014, I think. World Cup summer. So it was a blast. Father Ed Herzog and I, we had different days of the week for every activity. So we had like bowling Wednesdays and margarita Mondays.
Like a true Hispanic educational system.
Boliche Wednesday. And then after, I didn't do much in theology in any, either of those schools, but I found the program in Guatemala, as I've told you, to be a great gift because it's one-on-one teaching. So
yeah, it's great.
25 people there, one-on-one. You switch teachers every week. So like some teachers are better helping you with certain tenses of the language. One time I had Vilma, the Catholic lady who taught there. We just went through all the rites for 1 week, just talked about the confession, the funeral, the mass, all those different rites, and just kind of got those down, which gave me great confidence stepping into St. Anne.
You had a lot of trouble getting into Guatemala, so I was down there before you with the seminary, and so I went down the first couple of weeks, and then Clay was supposed to come down. We were have a day together in Guatemala, go through things that flap, and you got like stuck in Dallas for like 3 or 4 days
Actually, my flight from Wichita didn't leave.
Oh, so you never left Wichita.
It left 3 days later.
I got back to the United States before you ever got out of
Wichita. No, because we hung out a couple of those nights and you were like, are you still here?
Oh,
like,
why are you still here?
We went to Norton's one night.
Yes, that's right.
Like, wow. You're still here. I was supposed to leave on a Monday and it was like Wednesday or Thursday.
It was those Totus Tuus days that are at the end. That's right. That's
to my knowledge, that hasn't happened to anyone but you. Everyone else has made it to Guatemala fine in the experience so far.
I guess the Lord was just giving me some rest and even just like, the trip to see Blessed Stanley Rother's Shrine.
Oh, that's
one of the most beautiful places I've ever been to. It's a 7,000-foot elevation volcano lake, Santiago Atitlan. It's just one of the most beautiful places in the world. And then
to say mass in the room, yeah, was martyred.
I got to celebrate mass on the Feast of the Sacred Heart on that day in the room with his bullets in the ground from his shooting. So it was just a great gift to experience all that. So,
man, yeah, you've been to Atitlan, mm-hmm, have you, Garrett?
Yeah. Yep. Yo,
no, Drew.
I had mass at Oscar Romero's tomb.
What took you to El Salvador?
It's a great question.
People give me a hard time about Guatemala being a sketchy place, but El Salvador's worse. It
was, yeah. And
You were almost still there.
I was almost still there. I almost got stuck during the pandemic, a focus mission trip. But it was cool. Oh, yeah. Honestly, like, it was not on my radar at all, but probably similar to these guys' experience. To be Romero, you just feel Romero.
There's a
throughout the entire
there.
Country.
Presence.
And I'm sure the same thing is true with Rafa.
Padre Atlas. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They loved him.
And one of the seminarians going down, that's the thing he's most excited for. His academics are not his strength, and so he's really taken a true devotion to Father Stanley, who's, that was his story too. Not, mm-hmm, that, so before they go to Guatemala, he was organizing a group of guys to go down to the new shrine down in Oklahoma, so they were going to go spend some time there before their trip to Guatemala, but he's super excited to be there. That's cool. That's his guy. So it'll be great. But yeah, they should be coming back, I think, this week that this comes out, so we'll have to be in Benito. Them.
Bienvenido.
Muy bienvenido.
Can we tell who hasn't done this in this room? I always wanted to. I really thought I was going to, and it just never played out in the cards. That was
always say willing and able, right?
Right.
And some are very willing and not able. Yeah. Some are able and not
in that category. Yeah. Yep. So.
Hopefully both.
So, well, we actually brought you on to tell us your vocation story.
1 hour later.
That's right.
Here we are.
We are still interested in that. So if you would be so good as to tell us your vocation story.
Absolutely. So as I mentioned beginning that my life growing up was a great Catholic community, College, Kansas, College, America, very much in the mass, in the sacramental life. But when I got to Bishop Carroll, I didn't really know much or take it very seriously until I started hanging out with the Knights. One of my favorite stories about Knights was I showed up to Knights one time at the food court, and the guys were all talking about what books they were reading. And it reminds me of the scene in The Sandlot when Smalls doesn't know who Babe Ruth is. And everybody's like, you talking about Bambi, the wimpy deer? They were talking about Fulton Sheen. Chris Stewart was talking about Fulton Sheen. And I was like the kid with the record scratch, like, who's Fulton Sheen? I didn't know much of anything. And I just dove into the devotion with the Knights, especially the 33-day consecration changed my life. I had a friend, Drew Molly, who's a good friend of mine, works for Focus, who prayed with me every morning through the consecration for 33 days. And just developing that routine of prayer changed my life. First time I ever felt a relationship with God through His Blessed Mother. So after that, my junior year, I met a girl who was very Mary-like, I think not coincidentally. And she led me to... not uncoincidentally, she led me to a deeper devotion to the Eucharist and daily mass and adoration. She introduced me to all these things. And then the summer after my senior year of high school, our senior year of high school, one of our friends, Jose Gonzalez, who taught at Bishop Carroll, went to Denver to study at the Augustine Institute. And he became the director of Totus Tuus for the Archdiocese of Denver. For whatever reason, I was the one that he asked. He asked all of us, but I was the one who decided to do it. I think it was because the girl I was dating was doing it in Wichita. That was partially the reason. but partially, I just took kind of a leap of faith. Drew and Garrett famously that summer just broed out and went to San Diego on a senior trip.
I didn't go to San Diego, just Garrett.
Oh, just San.
He was just broing out. I was working at the Dillon's Meat Market.
I worked at
Animal.
Prestige Worldwide, my own painting company.
Prestige Worldwide. Worldwide. Yeah, so I don't know what possessed me to go to Denver and do that. Looking back now, it's God's providence for sure, because I didn't know much. I was really green in the faith. But we studied in the mountains at St. Malo's Retreat Facility, which is this place that John Paul II visited when he came to World Youth Day. The week in the mountains, studying the virtues according to Aquinas and looking at the stars and just falling in love with God happened right there. And then my world just got bigger that summer is how I would describe it. My world, I met all these people from Catholic colleges throughout the country. One of my teammates was from Steubenville and works today with the Heritage Foundation, this great political organization. And then one of them was entering seminary as a pre-theologian that year. And one of them was from SLU, St. Louis University, and was a big a mission trip, giving her life over to a mission in Haiti. And my world just expanded and grew. And I just started to fall in love with God as I was teaching my faith. Big thing that happened that summer was I met Saint Philomena. So that's what I thought you were going to name the studio as if Garrett or Drew had told you.
We'll say this is episode two.
Episode two.
Saint Philomena a studio for episode
perfect,
two.
Perfect.
There we go.
This little girl came up to me at Totus Tuus and like tugged on my pant leg and said, Saint Philomena loves you. And I was like, what? And the next day she said, Saint Philomena loves you again and gave me a little picture. And the next week we were at a completely different church. The first week we were in Loveland. The second week we were downtown at Holy Ghost Church in Denver. And a guy gave us Saint Philomena medals. And then a woman gave us a book called It's Time to Meet Saint Philomena. So I was like, I get it.
Leave me alone.
I knew nothing about her, but I later found out after a quick Google search that she was the patron saint of St. John Vianney. Mm-hmm. So if you go to ours, like he's got St. Philomena side chapels everywhere. If you go to St. Philomena Shrine in Munano, which I got to go to in 2019, there's statues of John Vianney. He attributed all of his miracles to her. So that's when like the first inkling of a priestly vocation entered in. Then I went to K-State my freshman year and I was still dating the girl, growing in faith. I just remember finally like starting to ask the question, like, how do you become a saint? And the answer was just ask God what he wants you to do every single day instead of asking yourself, like, how can I be served? So I started asking the question, what do you want me to do for love of you? Like just started asking that simple question. For me, it happened in a moment. I was walking out of macroeconomics class at Throckmorton Hall on the campus of Kansas State, walked down the hill on Denison, and I knew at Izzy's, it was a Friday in Lent. It was a little bit after 3, so probably about 4 o'clock.
Nice.
Wow. I can't believe I did that.
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit did that. So it was right after Stations. I knew Stations had been going on. So I just knelt down and prayed. And into my mind in prayer, which is about the only imaginative prayer experience I've had like this, I was in the mind of St. Simon of Cyrene. Specifically, like the images I had in my mind were of the movie, The Passion of the Christ. And he's thrown out into the road and he, you know, tells them like, let it be known that I had nothing to do with this man, but they force him to carry the cross. And he looks down at Jesus. Jesus has the weight of the cross and dirt all over his face. And Jesus kind of just like looks up at him desperately, like, are you going to help me or not? And that's what I felt him ask me. And I was like, how do you want me to help you? You know, that question like formed in my heart. What do you want me to do for love of you? In my mind just came these images of the priestly life. I had just had two priests ordained from Colwich in 2008, Father Aaron Spexarth and Father Michael Linneber, and I went to their first masses and I just like saw them consecrating the Eucharist. I saw kind of these images of hearing confessions, going to the hospital, talking in classrooms with kids, just everything. Just this clear answer from Jesus, be my priest. Like, that's what I want you to do. So I've always been taken by that experience. After that, I went home and told Father Pat at a Holy Thursday night, and he said, I think I told him on Holy Thursday, and he said, take all of the Easter season and pray about it. And by Easter Monday, I was like, I'm pretty sure.
We've all done that with Father Pat's advice before. So that's a good idea, but I'm not going to do that.
So I called Father Simone on that Monday. He was like, oh, great. But sorry, it's too late. And I was like, what? And he's like, just kidding.
Classic sense of humor.
Such a Simone joke.
Classic sense of humor. So that was the summer that like 18 or 19 guys, I think, came in. Yep. A lot of good friends, even, you know, a lot of guys in my class, but then a lot of friends that came and went after a year or two that are still good friends and helped form me. So I went off to Conception, fall of 2010. And
real quick, I have a story from this summer, is that I'm at Camp Totus Tuus this summer, starting to think about the priesthood a little bit, and Clay is helping at camp for High School Boys Week.
Quote unquote, helping.
He's just kind of around. Kind of help. And we're in like the chapel during High School Boys Week, and Clay has a book of John Vianney quotes, and he just keeps passing them to me to look at. Like, look how good a quote this is about the priesthood. I'm like, I will kill you. Don't do this thing, because all of these things are like bubbling in my heart. And Clay's like revving this whole engine.
I've never heard that before.
Revving this whole engine up. Right. I remember it vividly.
That's great. Yeah. Just off to the adventure of the next 3 years of conception into the middle of nowhere.
You said that was 2010, the fall of 2010.
Fall of 2010, but learned how to pray, loved it there. Father Xavier, my spiritual director, Catholic Yoda, one of my favorite people in the world. And then went off to Kenrick for 2 years and would say, like, obviously, it's never the end of the vocation story when you enter, right? So there's always questions and doubts and discerning within that time in seminary. For me, there was about a time about a year and a half or 2 years in where I thought I was going to leave. And I remember I went on a March for Life trip with Father Dan Dooling, which is a young priest at St. Thomas. I had done Totus Tuus there and I went with their group. And I just remember the way that he was a father and a shepherd to them, like on the subway system of DC, very scary. And like their buses and their trips and hearing their confessions and celebrating Mass and all that. I was just like, yeah, I think this is like what I want to do. Cause I had doubts about whether I, you know, wanted to be a biological father of many kids or, and then that moment I was like confirmed and like, you will have, you know, a family, you will have a spiritual family, you will be a father in a very profound way. And so, yeah, really after that point, I didn't look back, and 2 years at Kenrick, 2 years at Mundelein, great gift to be a priest.
And so then ordained in 2017.
That's right. Yeah. Ordained in 2017 with 10 other guys. And, you know, we've talked a lot in these last two episodes about how we're friends, but one of the things I find beautiful is that like in those group of 20, there's a lot of friendships in those groups. So like the guys who went to Newman, Father Adam Grellinger, Father Herbie, Father Kyle Dugan,
no one knows who that
Father Ed Herbie Herzog, is. They were all friends at Newman. Alex Georges, Father Andy Bergkamp, Father Michael Kirshen, they were all in seminary together. They were roommates at Fort Hays State. And so there's just this tightness, this bond between all those guys who were ordained at that time, which was awesome.
We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about our greatest achievement together.
I agree, but I don't know what that is.
The softball game.
The softball game. So we, Clay, for his birthday in the fall of 2010, right before he went off to seminary, had a softball game that a bunch of us went out to, and Ben Arnold.
I think your cousin Ben Arnold dressed up in an old timey umpire costume.
That'd be about right. Checks out.
And then it just morphed into this thing for Clay's birthday called the Chaplain Capon Classic softball game that we had for 10 years, and we raised like $50,000 for different charities throughout the years. But it was our great like coming together. And this is a time that we got to give Kyle Martins a shout out because he is so bitter about having never, because he's like the fourth in kind
of
our
group. He always sends me the
of
power rankings of people that are shouted out on this podcast, and he's always like dead last. So,
and so we wanted to give Kyle Martins a shout out for being part of this,
the fourth member of the board of who the put board. Together.
I'm pretty sure
game.
I remember Kyle Martins. I feel like we used to always call him Two Hands from Ultimate Frisbee, us older guys, because he'd always try and catch it one handed and drop it.
Which was funny because he was a Division I athlete, but we made fun of him
for
how
unathletic
he is.
Two Hands,
old
Martins.
Two Hands. Yeah. Come on, Two Hands.
Softball game was great. Yeah. For us, coming home in the summer was always kind of the end of the summer event in August. We raised money. We picked a different charity each year. So we did a Better Choice one year, Lord's Diner. One of my favorite ones was with the IHM sisters when they were building their convent out in Colwich, and we had about 300 people that year at St. Mark's for the game, and then they had a cookout for us on the convent farm grounds. Oh, cool. And so we had all these young adults out there on blankets just getting tours from the sisters.
Mother threw out the first pitch.
It's on a save the date card.
Well, my favorite is Bishop throwing out the first pitch. I have that printed.
That was the last one.
Bishop throwing out the first pitch in one of the t-shirts.
Lights out in 2019. That was our last one.
Good memories.
Then you just got too old to play. Is that what happened? You got a little decrepit? Is that?
I would say we felt too old, and we would like, I mean, we would get kegs of beer for this and we're like hanging out. And then we noticed it's like, we're just buying beer for these kids that are 10 years younger than, what are we doing?
Yeah, that's right. And like a bunch of the people who were there couldn't drink. Like that's how we were like, we have aged. We've kind of phased out.
Yeah.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, that's right.
Doesn't get better, fellas.
Yeah, we also became priests and just kind of had to move on.
Yeah,
with
jobs.
With
a few
our
more
ministry.
Responsibilities.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe someday some kids can resurrect it if they want. But we've said that we'll have one if he's beatified and one if he's canonized.
Yep.
We'll have the saint and the blessed chaplain cape and
hear that, Rome? So. If you need some more motivation.
Bring it.
The gauntlet has been thrown down.
Oh, man.
Well, and you're involved with a young adult, as we talked about previously, in the diocese, and you've got the night of this recording, you have a
Theology on Tap.
So if people in the diocese are looking to get plugged into young adult things, where should they be looking for that?
Yeah, the easy website is wichitacya.com, so wichitacatholicyoungadults.com. but it's called Salt and Light. So that's kind of what our tag is on Instagram and Facebook and all those socials. But on the website, the easiest way is just to go to the bottom of the website, put in your information for the email newsletter list, or just talk to anybody, any of your associate pastors or people in the diocese within the Sedgwick County metro area. That's one thing that's tough. We always get calls about, like, can we start a Salt and Light in Crawford County? And they kind of started some young adult stuff down in Pittsburgh or in Reno County, but our reach is really just for kind of the Wichita and surrounding area.
Yeah, we had when we were in Coffeyville, just a kind of our own individual thing, because it's hard. Which I learned, Theology on Tap is copyrighted name. I didn't know that until I got into that.
I've been using it in Winfield too. We're about to have Father Bernie Georges on for a 3-hour Theology on Tap in Winfield.
So. We called ourselves Top Shelf Theology because we found out. Yeah,
very nice.
There's a whole thing.
Bottles and
it.
Bibles.
That'd be a great tag for Bernie.
Perfect.
Bottles and Bibles.
Whiskey and the Word.
Anything else we got to throw in there?
We have exhausted the possibilities.
We got to talk more off mic about Garrison.
Yeah,
everybody's answering to get back to that.
Ago. So many questions.
I don't even remember what's going on anymore.
I truly
anymore,
have never been more proud of you guys.
I feel like if anyone, we have to thank Sister for being so patient for what she thought she was just sitting to listen to 20-30 minutes of banter that's turned into an hour, and she has been very kind and generous for that. So thank you. I don't want to thank Father Clay. I just want to thank you again, Sister. So appreciate that.
What a good life it's been.
It's a great life.
Yeah.
It's a great life.
Well, thanks for listening to About 4 O'Clock. If you have questions you'd like us to address, you can email us at wichitavocations@gmail.com. You can also visit us at our website, about4.org. Father Clay has the final word today.
This is St. Charles de Foucauld's Prayer of Abandonment. Father, I abandon myself into your hands. Do with me what you will. Whatever you may do, I thank you. I am ready for all. I accept all. Let only your will be done in me and in all your creatures. I wish no more than this, O Lord. Into your hands I commend my soul. I offer to you with all the love of my heart. For I love you, Lord, and so need to give myself, to surrender myself into your hands without reserve and with boundless confidence, for you are my Father.
See you next week.